This reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And just before this, Jesus has spent quite a lot of time with his disciples, and he's talked to them about all sorts of things, and he tells them for the third time about his death and his resurrection. So it's Mark 10, 35 to 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for so many."
You can understand why the disciples got a bit angry with James and John, can't you? They're sort of trying to elevate themselves up above the others. "I'm going to sit at your right and your left hand." They've got this idea, they're following Jesus, they're going to do it their way. They've got in their minds exactly what it means for them. They're going to follow him, and they're going to be jolly important in doing it too. Jesus makes it very clear to James and to John that the place and the way we serve God is not theirs to decide. That's God's business. It's like that wonderful line out of the Methodist Covenant service that we have every year. "You put me to what you will. You rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to serving, put me to suffering." But it's God's business, and the role of the servant is to do what God wants the servant to do. Because the moment you've got an idea in your mind that's guiding you and pushing you, an idea that is very much about what makes me comfy and what makes me happy and what makes, you know, my world the way I want it to be and what gives me the status or whatever that I've got, the moment you're doing that, of course, you're excluding the other possibilities that that still small voice might be trying to put in. So there's this sort of, in Christian faith, there's an understanding that there has to be an alertness and a willingness to hear that which is coming from God, and not to shut it out by yelling too loudly into your own consciousness of what it is that you want. It's a tricky business. It's a sensitive business. It requires stopping and praying, and it requires that willingness that Jesus had to put yourself aside and to let God be first up front. So, as Christians, yeah, but not just as Christians, not just as individuals. Because if that holds true for me and you in our trying to serve God and trying to be faithful followers of Jesus, you know, our theme, walk the way, live the life of Jesus today, then it's got to be true for us as a church too. What am I meaning by that? Well, there's a danger that in trying to do what we do as a church, we think of the things that are going to make our church the way we want it to be comfortable the way we think it might be comfortable. But of course, that's not the Christian way, is it? Because God's way is to seek to serve. And it seems to me that if we're searching for what that service means, it seems to me that as a church too, we're seeking to be whatever it is we can be to express the profound love of God for all the people who live around this building, all the people who we touch shoulders with each day. Our purpose isn't for the church to look the way that we think it ought to look. Our purpose for our church is to express the profound love of God, expressed in the life and the death on the cross and in the resurrection, to express that to our community in a way that will bless them and let them know that they're loved by God.